This episode of Star Wars in Character is brought to you by the Artmore Project Fundraiser. So far, the Artmore Project has brought together 60 artists to create one-of-a-kind works of art from blank sets of Mandalorian armor. These artworks will be auctioned off as part of the 2013 Star Wars in Character Star Wars Toy Drive, benefiting the Philadelphia area Toys for Tots. Now, when you donate as little as $5 to the Artmore Project, you'll receive a special thank you gift, an exclusive episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast featuring the bounty hunter Dengar. This special episode is available only through Artmore Project donations. For more information on this project and fundraiser, and to find out how to access more exclusive episodes, visit our website at swic.neozaz.com/donate. The Star Wars in Character podcast looks forward to creating a new milestone with our 2013 toy drive and thanks everyone for your support in this exciting new project.
I don't know for certain that he was funneling information to the Rebellion, but it fits his character. Oh, I dropped my book.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories. Histories. And details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Baron N. Pepinoida.
N?
N.
Like N period? Like
N period, that's his middle name.
What's it stand for?
I have no idea.
No idea, that's what it stands for.
Or yeah, I don't know.
Why bother putting it?
Maybe that's what's his real middle
initial. His name's George Lucas.
Well, in real life, like his middle initial.
I don't know.
Alrighty.
No, it's the N is supposedly stands for not Lewiski.
Oh God! What? Really?
Just say N.
Well, apparently in the early drafts of. Not maybe in the script, but maybe in the concept art, they had named him Baron, not Lewiski.
Like, what does that mean?
I have no idea.
Not Lucas.
Not Lucas. Ooh. That's what I was guessing.
Not Lewinsky. I did not blow that guy.
I thought it was a Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That is stupid.
That
Dave.
Is stupid, Dave.
Dave, you're stupid.
No, and George, so rad, could be that stupid.
George well, Lucas's Baron... middle name is Walton, by the way.
Oh,
and he's Walton? A junior. Did you know he's George Walton Lucas Jr.?
Junior.
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 Don't call me Junior.
I wonder if Walton was the dog's name.
We named the dog George.
Pepinoida appears in episode 3. Revenge of the Sea.
You just like saying that's fun to say.
It is.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Wait to hear these names, all right?
Hemorrhoida.
Now, wait. Before you say the names, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank these names? Would 10 being your best, 1 being your absolute worst?
I'm going to give it a 10 for what they're about.
Balls.
Blue balls.
You know what I'm going to do?
Blue balls.
Let's see if I can do this for the next 25 episodes. I am going to keep a tally of the names and rank them for the next 25 episodes and see where everything falls into place.
If you would like to do that, so help
like,
yourself.
I'm going to write down the names as you say them, and if next week's are better, I'll put it above or below this, and then we'll see where everything falls into place by the next 25 episodes.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I got a lot of stuff on my shoulders now. Okay.
Now, are you going to rank them by individual, or are you going to rank them by show? Like, this show's was better than last show's.
Yeah, the whole, it's going to be the whole, all four names together.
All right.
Oh, the whole, I like the
whole. Hole. I'm going to rank Chris's whole.
All right, well, maybe this one might
Chrissy go down the hole.
This one might be down on the list then. Okay.
Spicy hole.
So, I will say this. This is these are the best names so far for the next 25 episodes.
Okay.
My name is Beverly Hills Cop 3 Chris.
That's great.
Hi.
I looked that up. Do you know who he plays?
It says here, Gentle George.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
What the hell's that?
No idea.
He plays like a... It was like... Plays confused man.
It says
man.
Disappointed man.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's on me after the prequels.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I am joined by Men in Black Matt.
Matt in Black.
Ooh, that sounds kind of...
Here comes the Matt in Black.
We played an alien, right?
On a TV monitor, yes.
Those are great.
To my right, Follow That Bird Dave.
Oh, jeez. Same street.
He was an extra, as it says.
Love it.
And last but not least, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I didn't know that until I looked at.
I know.
I didn't. Wait, did you know that?
You missed something there.
Yeah.
What?
You didn't say Dave's name, did you?
Yeah. Follow That Bird Dave.
Temple. Okay, I'm waiting for Dave. My bad.
Yeah, he played a missionary in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I had no idea.
Do you know how many times he's acted?
Four.
Do you have that?
Six.
I wrote these all down.
It said nine on IMDb.
He was in an episode of Just Shoot Me?
Yeah.
I remember that episode. That was a great episode.
He was in Hook?
Hook? As someone kissing on a bridge.
Man. Peter Pan?
Man kissing on a bridge.
Kissing what?
Well, I don't know, but we're going to have to talk about his character on Indiana Jones in character.
Yeah.
The missionary. Plays in Indiana Jones.
I don't even know where or when.
I had no idea.
So, Matt, did you write down those names?
I did. And so far, those are the best. You're right.
They're the best around.
Well, Temple of Doom.
Give us
facts about Baron and Papanoida.
Yes, Baron Papanoida. I've actually been wanting to do an episode on Papanoida for a little while. I find this character to be very interesting. Mm. At least I did.
We've waited so long, it's almost like someone suggested it.
Yeah.
Dave got it.
Baron Papanoida, he is a male Pantoran statesman and playwright.
What?
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Of course.
He's a playwright. He worked a little bit in Pantoran planet politics officially during the Clone Wars. He wasn't so much in terms of international or interplanetary. It was all pretty much keep it local. So he was just on his own planet mainly looking over things. He's kind of like a little state representative.
Pantoran?
Pantora.
Pantora?
Yep. Yeah. Wait, is that the planet's name? Yep.
Pantora.
Yeah, Pantora.
And do we ever see any other Pantorans ever?
We do. In the Revenge of the Sith, we see him with his daughter in the movie, Chai Ikwe, who is also a Pantoran.
And that's his real daughter?
That's his real daughter. I think that was Katie Lucas wearing, like, basically a tarp over her entire body.
Okay. All
right.
That's Chai Ikwe. In the movie, he is her father. She is a Republic senator, so she's a little higher up on the in terms of politics than he is officially. And he had two other children, a son, Ian, and Chi Amanawe. Mm-hmm. And all three were based on Lucas's children. So son Ian was based on Jet Lucas, and Che was based on what? Amanda Lucas.
I thought Amanda Lucas was also that one spiky haired dancing girl that looked like the anti Mr. Freeze guy from those Rudolph cartoons.
That, what was it? The Heat Miser?
Yeah, the Heat Miser. That guy, yeah.
Yeah, Amanda Lucas. She showed up. She shows up a few times. She shows up as that in what you just said in episode one. In episode two, I think she plays a kind of a thick Twi'lek, like red and orange Twi'lek.
What do you mean to him by thick?
Beefy.
Okay,
that's much better.
Amanda Lucas. Amanda Lucas is a bruiser. I'm not gonna. Let's not sugarcoat it. This girl's a bruiser. She's an ultimate fighter.
Yeah, she will kick your ass.
She will kick your ass, and I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can so she doesn't kick my ass.
I did mean really specifically an ultimate
fighter?
Yeah.
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 Really?
There are some videos of her like with blood just gushing down her face. She is bad ass.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was in that Robot Warriors. Did you see that?
No.
No.
If it was robot in it, I'm not watching it.
Oh, okay. Well, she was. It's where you. It was like. It's kind of like. It was like the retarded cousin of Pacific Rim.
Did you see iRobot, Dave?
Yeah.
That's robot.
But yeah, if you were to meet her in a dark alley, she would fuck you up.
Mm. Sounds good.
It does, actually.
It sounds good.
I like it.
Mm. Now, he started his professional life out as a playwright.
Beer over there.
He had a lot of popular plays that were interplanetary, galactically huge for him. So he was able to gain an immense wealth. And as a result of this enormous fortune, you know, when you got a lot of money, you can buy your way into a lot of different sectors of the society. So he made a lot of associations with power individuals from all walks of life, like politicians, captains of industry, and the underworld.
Sounds like Lucas in real life, you know?
I was going to ask, did he ever go back and rewrite any of his plays to, you know, for no special real good reason?
He wrote, Squid Lake Special Edition, where he made the squid's eyes blink.
And the fisherman shot first.
Oh. Yes, the fisherman shot first. The fish jumped out of the lake.
The fish tried to catch the fisherman, and he cast the line in to protect himself.
Yep. The fish jumped out. Oh, it's time to die, douchebag.
Is that Southern or no?
That's
I don't know what that was.
Voice. Okay.
That's my fish voice.
That's his old man in the sea voice.
This is my fish voice, bastard. Yeah, so he, with all these connections he made, he basically became a one-man intelligence network, I guess. Connections all filtered intelligence to him. So he was a pretty knowledgeable guy on everything going on in the universe. And he was wheeling and dealing with the Black Sun. He was wheeling and dealing with all the senators, people on both sides in terms of the separatists, the Republic. He knew everything that was going on with everybody, bounty hunters, everything. Pretty smart dude. And this actually assisted him in the highest profile storyline. He doesn't have much of a story. It's a very short story for this dude. And really, most of it is actually from an episode of The Clone Wars that this Baron Papanoid appeared in, where one of his daughters, I forget which one it was. I think it was
the beefy one.
The beefy with Chayamanawe. I forget which one it was that was kidnapped, but one of them was kidnapped. And his intelligence network led him to find the actual people who perpetrated the kidnapping, which was Greedo. This was the first time we see Greedo in the Clone Wars. So he actually tracks Greedo down. He knows Greedo's affiliated with Jabba. So he goes and he politely – it's almost like the Godfather kind of thing, where you politely go to – your rival gangster's house and you request information to help satisfy the issue at hand. And Jabba actually gave up Greedo so that he could maintain this positive relationship with Papanoida.
Now, is this Greedo or Greedo the Elder or Greedo the Third or Greedo this, the Embryo,
according
or whatever.
To Lucas Cannon, this is Greedo.
Okay.
This is the Greedo that we see get toasted in episode 4. And the way that they portray Greedo in this episode, and I know we talked about this a little bit on the Greedo episode we did, the way they portrayed Greedo in this, it sort of makes you understand the Greedo that he became and gets killed in episode 4 as just like a hothead and, you know, someone inexperienced, someone that's not very good at covering his tracks and is just very amateur in everything that he does. But yeah, he goes and he seeks out Greedo, finds him, and we actually see a pretty cool gunfight between Papanoida, who turns out to be a pretty wicked gunslinger.
Yeah, remember that.
And Greedo, and the gunfight actually takes place in Shaman's Cantina.
And they made it look. They made the Papanoida on the cartoon look like George Lucas.
Yeah,
in the
there's
movie.
A picture right here. Yeah. It looks pretty darn good.
Let me see that picture.
It's tiny.
But take a look at that boy.
Papa Smurf. It looks even like Papa Smurfa with the it's animated.
Right, yeah.
It's even
worse. Yeah.
Did Jonathan Winters do the voice?
It's actually a really good episode. And it's one of my favorites of that. I think it was season 3 that this episode came out. But you actually see an animated version of Warrior's Cantina or Shaman's Cantina. You can see like the little area where Greedo eventually gets shot. They even animated that whole area. It's really neat, but no Wurr in sight.
Oh.
Which was an opportunity, a missed opportunity, I think, for the Clone Wars.
What about Akmina?
No Akmina. They could have animated one or the other. I don't even remember who the bartender was in the episode. I know Greedo and another bounty hunter named Gotal were the two guys that they were fighting. I think Gotal gets killed and Greedo gets turned into a little bitch.
So was there anybody from A New Hope that was in the cantina, like in this episode, like a little Easter egg in the background, Tanaka's sister?
It's been a while since I've seen it, but probably was something.
I don't remember if any of those official characters, I know like species like, you know, hammerheads and things like that would pop up from time to time. I don't remember if there was any other official people that actually the character itself was in the cantina from in Star Wars. But I mean, this takes place, what, 35 years before Star Wars anyway, so they would all be mostly babies, which you would think Greedo, for being as amateurish and as buffoonish as he is in this episode, how he lived that long is actually kind of amazing.
To be as old as he was in New Hope, you mean?
Yeah. I seem to remember in Tales of the Bounty Hunters that they, in that story, I thought Greedo was young, like 17 or 18. Matt, do you remember if I'm accurate in my memory on that?
You know, he's not in the Bounty Hunters one. He's in the Mos Eisley one. So I mean, I have that, but I'm not. My point is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that specifically to correct you. I meant to say I'm not currently reading that. So, but I'm planning to read them all again. So, ask me again in 2 months.
I seem to remember that Greedo story being confusing because it had to do with Rodians, you know, they were in clans and clans were warring, and it was very, very different than how the Rodians were portrayed in the prequels and in the Clone Wars. But yeah, pretty much that's his main story. He eventually gets his daughter back. It turned out that Greedo was hired by the Trade Federation to kidnap the daughter and Ahsoka rescues her from that story.
How did they do his voice in the cartoon?
He did a version of Orson Welles. He based his character on Orson Welles in The Third Man.
Who did the voice?
Corey Burton.
Okay.
So they didn't have him speak Rodian like in New Hope?
Oh no, I'm sorry. The voice for Papa Noida was done by Corey Burton. I forget who did the voice for Greedo, but Greedo had kind of a "Hey everybody" again, and he spoke in English. He didn't speak in Rodian.
For some reason, I thought Dave was asking Greedo, and I just realized we're talking about Pop. Yeah, I forgot what episode we're doing. What character we're talking about?
I kind of like going back and talking about Greedo. I love Greedo.
Dorme, right? We're talking about Dorme.
Yeah, Dorme. Dorme.
Oh.
Dorme, she's all over the place now. She's in like every movie coming out.
She's in Insidious 2.
Insidious 2. There's another movie I saw where she's popping up that comes out soon too.
Some girlfriend in a movie I just saw. I forget what it was.
Yeah. She's all over the place. Good for her. In terms of his politics, he was an anti-Palpatineist, if that's a word.
Huh?
He was anti-Palpatine. He couldn't stand that dude.
Right.
But he was never publicly opposed to Palpatine because that would hurt him in the long run. So he always kept that sort of – he's kept his personal politics, I guess, close to his chest in terms of his opinions. He had his local politics that he did on the planet, but in terms of his opinions on intergalactic stuff, he was pretty quiet on that. But he used his intelligence network to influence and funnel information to Senate and politicians with anti-Palpatine info as much as he could. He while he wasn't publicly against him, he would work his magic as best he could to undermine Palpatine's work.
So if he's at that play that the Palpatine's at when Anakin is like booking it
Squid
up.
Lake. Yep.
So like if they had like bumped into each other at the men's room, he would have been like Emperor, and he would have been like Baron.
Well, like Seinfeld, yeah, like and Newman.
Newman.
Yeah. Like, yeah, frenemies, I guess.
Yeah, like they would have been cordial to each other, but behind the scenes they hated each other.
Yeah, like he would say something to Palpatine, like, "What's up with those hemorrhoids? You get those fixed yet?" Like they would cut each other down as best we could. "What's up with your tiny dick? How'd you?"
Wow.
Why am I always shunned by society because of my chode?
So much thicker than it is lengthwise. Cursed! It is my curse. The Pandoran curse.
Now let's talk about Splash.
He was able, because he kept quiet about all sorts of stuff, was never publicly opposed, he maintained his high station in society after the rise of the Galactic Empire. And, you know, with his information, he presumably had continued to funnel information to benefit the emerging rebellion. So he had a little bit of a I would think that he had a little bit of a hand. This is speculation on my part. I don't know for certain that he was funneling information to the rebellion, but it fits his character. Oh, I dropped my book.
That's probably fair so far.
That's the only thing that caught my attention.
Did you
Did
you say that he wrote this Squid Lake thing?
No, I was joking about that. I actually don't remember. I don't think it said any of the names of his plays. It would be great if he wrote Squid Lake.
American Graffiti, he probably wrote back then.
American Squid Graffiti, Squid Reedy. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Just dropping your
but yeah. And there's no end story for him. So who knows how long he lives? We might see him in episode 7.
Ooh,
as Grandfather Papanoida, like really, really old Papanoida with like an Oak Ridge boy's long beard. Who knows? Yeah. We shall see. In terms of behind the scenes, he was portrayed in Revenge of the Sith by George Lucas himself.
What?
Who?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Seriously.
Yeah, you didn't know that. You're stupid.
What, you didn't know that?
You didn't know that?
George Lucas, what's that guy done?
Yeah, he's an independent filmmaker.
Him and Bo Scheck just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, those two guys. They probably fell off the face of the earth together, arm in arm.
Like
This is George Lucas's only official on-screen appearance in the Star Wars films, but what... Do you guys remember there's that little shot in episode 1 in the Senate where it looks like it's supposed to be George Lucas and maybe
Spielberg. Yeah.
Spielberg sitting in one of the Senate things.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that was entirely computer generated. I always thought that he like sat down and they actually filmed him and inserted him in there, but I guess they don't consider that an acting appearance.
Yeah. It's not on IMDb or anything. Like even if it was just filmed from something else and stuck on there, I mean, it's still in a movie.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, that may have been a completely digital creation. I don't know, but I always thought that was kind of a neat touch. And when they announced during the making of episode 3 that he was actually going to appear in it, I was like, but, and they said that his only appearance, I'm like, but he was in it.
Why'd you act like Dengar for?
Yeah. I saw him in episode 1. And Chris pretty much went down the list of everything that he appears in. Temple of Doom as a missionary. He was in Follow That Bird, which I never saw that movie. Have you guys seen Follow That Bird?
Years ago, man. Yeah, a long time ago.
I watched the shit out of that one.
Is that the one where he goes to China and goes to the Great Wall?
What?
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 Doesn't Big Bird go to the Great Wall of China in a movie?
What are you talking about? No, he wants to find out. you know, he wants to live life as a bird. So he's adopted by other birds and he leaves.
Birdie.
Stop it. And he leaves Sesame Street. Or as Chevy Chase calls it, it's the same street.
That guy's so funny.
That was
funny.
The last funny thing that Chevy Chase ever said.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
You are so fucking dead to
You're
me.
You're dead now.
Spies, I guess.
Right.
He did do.
He was in Hook.
What is that terrible movie? Nothing But Trouble. I mean, come on.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Tupac Shakur
what was
the
movie he did with Jack Palance?
Cops and Robertson's.
Yeah. My favorite role that he ever did was the Beverly Hills Cop role.
Yes, that was the best part.
He's next in line to get on that awesome roller coaster, and fucking Axel F. But that's immediate ejection from the park.
Right.
And I think that's his best speaking role. Hi!
Who was
Why do you think he did that?
That's what I was going to ask. Is that like a favorite of John Landis?
Did Landis direct that?
He directed like three. I think he came back for that.
That's a terrible one too.
That was awful. But like these directors, they're like, you know, through thick and thin together. So maybe it's like, maybe it's just as a favor to him.
Here, Tim. Here, ready?
Yeah.
Here it is. Here, the Cliff Meadows Cop 3. It's loading. So maybe I might talk a little bit. There we go. Is this it?
I was like, is this the entire movie?
It's George Lucas at Wonderland. Maybe it's after this. Go. Hold on. I'll find it. Don't worry. Continue about George Lucas.
I remember the poster for Beverly Hills Cop 3, the original.
Him and the coaster?
The coaster behind him. It was like, oh, this is awesome. But I never saw this in the theater. I remember this.
There he goes.
What year did that come out? 93?
There you go,
94.
He's going over to the carousel. He walks on the train. There you go.
Excuse me.
Hey!
That's not fair.
There it is.
Wow. Here's the chain. Yeah, dry sound.
That's it.
He says, hey.
Yeah, that's always.
Hey!
Let's go.
Hey, can you stop the clip now?
Is he with a kid?
No, with a girl. Like a younger girl.
Wonder if it's a daughter. One of the
Amanda Lucas. Too old to be the daughter.
Huh.
Hey!
But yeah, I remember that poster was awesome.
I remember when that poster
and it made you really want to see that movie.
Yeah, I remember me and Dave, man, hung that poster up immediately. Couldn't wait for that movie. Big disappointment.
I remember I did not see that in the theaters. I did not see it until I borrowed your VHS copy of it. Years later, whenever I would just go over to your house and just, I'm taking some movies. See you later.
Is everything?
He got a line.
That's Dengar borrowing movies from Chris's house. Hey, I'm going to borrow. What's this name? Tim? That's my name.
At least he got a line in Beverly Hills Cop, because what does he do for this? He just kind of stands there?
Yeah, he's just sort of standing out there with his daughter in the... I think Anakin runs by him, doesn't he? On his way in to talk to Palpatine.
He goes into Palpatine's thing when he's giving him the news, and Baron Papanoida is standing there for 6.9 seconds.
Whoa!
Yeah.
As I said, Corey Burton, he's the voice actor that performed on the Clone Wars. And he was actually nominated for an Annie Award for his performance of Papanoida this episode, which is, you know, that's like the animation Oscars. Mm-hmm. I don't think he won. I forget. It was him and the person who performs Asajj Ventress were both nominated for the same award, but it went to some other cartoon that I can't remember what it was.
Do you think there was a lot of blue balls jokes when he was getting his?
Do you think they painted his entire body blue?
Yeah, what do you think, Dave?
I don't know.
I don't even want to think about it.
I just stand that I thought he looked pretty thin. I mean, for him in that scene, like he looked pretty svelte. I was just wondering if he was wearing some kind of like, you know, man
skinny
like,
suit?
Yeah, like a man girdle, like, you know, the one that Danny Glover wore in Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah.
Something like that, because he looked okay. Like, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, his face, it wasn't that fat.
No, I mean, I guess they couldn't have, like, he had the beard still, but I don't know if that was, like, his beard or, like, a prosthetic beard, but I thought he looked pretty good.
And he probably wrote this. I mean, he wrote this for himself, right? Do you think he just, I have an idea.
I have a feeling that the character was drawn or was conceptualized and they used George Lucas as a basis, and Lucas was like, all right, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah, he don't typically have that much detail in a script saying that Anakin Skywalker runs past Baron Papanoida, who is blue and wearing a purple suit.
Yeah, Lucas probably said, okay, we're going to have this scene. We need a bunch of people look like senators. We need a bunch of people look like opera goers, you know, society people on Coruscant. Just give me a bunch of designs. And someone probably just made him, and he's like, oh, I make that outfit for me.
Yeah, we're blue.
I wonder if there any opportunity to be in these movies whenever he wanted to be.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Why do you think he wanted to be in this one?
I don't. It seems to me like maybe it's like he never seems to be like the guy that wants to be the center of attention. Like, maybe they kind of talk him into it or something. Like, I don't like it's.
I think, wasn't it generally, didn't he pretty much, I don't know if he said specifically, but kind of allude to that this was going to be the last. This is way before Disney and way before anything else. So this was kind of the last chance to do it, maybe?
In his mind at the time? I think he knew in his head that he was never going to direct another Star Wars film. Mm. Whether or not he had it in his head that there were going to be more Star Wars films in the future, but from other people at that point in 1994 or 2004.
Do you think someone painted his balls blue?
Nope.
He got Danny Wagner to get down and paint.
You're really,
you know, with a little sponge brush.
I wonder if they left his beard alone, but then there was like too much of a Papa Smurf resemblance, and they went ahead and just covered the beard as well.
I was like, do a little bit, a little airbrush. Psst, psst, psst,
psst. Chris, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about someone holding George Lucas's balls up in the air a little bit and just painting it.
Getting underneath?
Painting his taint, painting his anus hole.
There's definite cuppage.
Yeah, I would volunteer for that.
Well, hell yeah.
God, yeah.
Well, maybe what he did was, since he's the director, they just put a whole lot of blue paint all over Amy Allen, and she just rubbed all over his body, because he can do what he wants.
Now I'm hard, Tim.
Now you're talking.
Now you're cooking with gas.
What was that sound effect for?
That was a boner. that was the sound of a stiffening penis. Blood engorged.
I've heard that before.
I guess the skin grew over again.
Now this is good.
Going back to Corey Burton, I found something kind of interesting about Corey Burton. Dude. He's one of my all-time favorite voice actors. He does the voice of Eeyore, the more recent Eeyore incarnations over the past, say, 20 years. He did Brainiac in the Superman cartoon. He does a bunch of voices on the Star Wars video games and stuff. But he actually has a line in Empire Strikes Back. He did some ADR for Empire Strikes Back. So the voice of Corey Burton, he also does Count Dooku on the Clone Wars. But he did the line that Hobby says in Empire Strikes Back during the Battle of Hoth. I've been hit. That's Corey Burton.
Yeah, but Tim, do you think someone painted his balls?
You know what? I don't know about the balls, but look, check this shit out. I don't know how this got on the Wikipedia, but under the species entry, the Pentaurian, whatever it is, it goes to describe them, and it says that species had
I know where you're gonna go.
Yeah, the
to.
Species had two sexes, male and female, the latter being recognizable by the presence of breast. And the breast is clickable, and you click on that, and there's a breast entry, and the top picture of it is that picture of the topless naked Twi'lek that we've talked about before.
Really?
Yes.
Thanks, man.
Let's go take a look at this.
I thought you were going to say down here where it says species, gender, height, and then mass.
No. That's not where I'm going with this.
What's 81 kilograms in pounds? Anyone know out there?
That's math. I ain't doing that.
Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Every time that anything's like kilo, I always say it's three times whatever our number. So I would say that's 240 pounds.
What is it? 181, you said?
No, just 81. Oh, 81. 81 kilograms.
I just multiply everything by 3.
I think if I held up his balls a certain way, I could paint the whole thing like one stroke, I think.
Well, that is 100.
With one lick.
It says 178 pounds. Bullshit.
Thank you, Matt, for doing that math for us. Bullshit.
But maybe so Pantoran, and where does it say breast? Breastesis. Oh, there we go. Breastesis. And there she is. and then it has
Yarnold Dargargan.
Yeah, I was going to call her Gardula the Hutt. Layla.
I don't know how this one slipped by.
Well, I have a feeling I know what Matt's website is.
It is. Yeah. I can't even say anything.
One last little thing I want to say about Corey Burton is, and Dave, I'm pretty sure you would have this. And Matt, you might have had this, the old story record for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Corey Burton was the voice of Luke Skywalker on original on the original story record. So and actually I went on YouTube and there's a couple videos that have the entire recording and with the book. So I think that's pretty damn awesome. So Corey Burton
was amazing. Tim.
Do you think they painted Corey Burton's balls blue when he was recording this?
He probably had blue balls, but he was recording it.
Because he clicked on the
long he was away from Mrs. Burton.
Well, that and he clicked on the breast link in Wikipedia.
Well, if you look in the credits for which one was this in?
Sith.
Yeah. There's probably like, you know, Mr. Lucas's scrotum holder.
Oh my God, is there
something like that? Yeah, go. I'm going to look.
Ball painting.
I love this. There's an under breast cultural significance. There's a picture. Ayla Secura using her breasts to impress a Gossam guard.
Mm.
Female patients in BACTA tanks could have their breasts covered, but in some cases they chose not to.
There's a listing of appearances for breasts. Star Wars Darth Plagueis, Cloak of Deception.
Star Wars The Clone Wars film. Where did we see breasts in that? Unless, like, a character had breasts. Courtship of Princess Leia, first identified as breast.
That's hilarious.
Tempest, mentioned only.
Goatgrass, The Tale of Reese, mentioned only. Star Wars A New Hope, first Wikipedia, appearance.
You're awesome.
I love community internet projects.
I love breasts.
Now you guys search for this. He's been one of your white whales.
Right? Literally.
Literally. Trying to get this guy to sign your stuff. You got really close once.
We did.
What was that all about?
And I'm so torn. I'm so sad about that.
Why? What happened?
Do you want to tell the story?
I'll tell what I remember.
Okay. You tell your story. I'll tell mine.
I'll tell the one that's wrong. Until it was, well, correct me. It was at the National Board of Reviews, one of those ceremonies going on.
Yeah, it was the first one we ever went to.
And there was nobody there. I think it was spritzing a little tiny bit, raining a little bit.
Seven people.
There were seven people, and me and Tim were two of the seven. Had our posters out. He came right past, and we were like, Mr. Lucas, would you sign, please, sign. And he didn't even stop. He shrugged his shoulders, shook his hand, and said, nah.
Yeah, he was like he paused for a second, like, maybe, and then he was like,
no one there.
I just remember him going, no, and then walked by. And yeah. I remember you and I,
we were pissed because you know why
we were like, we came all the way here and for this and nothing.
I mean, that was our only chance now. I think, I mean, getting him now,
that was the closest we ever could have gotten to getting George Lucas.
That was a while ago too. That was like, God, how long ago was that?
2002 or 2003. That was a cold ass. Yeah. And that's actually where the sign please thing all started, was going to those things.
Yeah,
we were successful in other ways. I remember we got Francis Ford Coppola was there,
and so was
he was there with his daughter. And this is before that this was before her the movie with Bill Murray. I'm blanking on the name of it.
Lost in Translation.
Lost in Translation. It was before that movie came out. So Sofia Coppola was basically known as that shitty actress from Godfather 3.
Yeah.
So everybody was screaming and yelling and trying to get Francis Ford Coppola's autograph. And Chris and I are standing there, and Sofia Coppola's standing in front of us. And I'm like, hey, Sofia. She's like, yeah. She's like, because we had all our posters with us. So it's like, would you, because she was in episode one. And I said, would you sign my poster? She goes, want me to sign your poster? I go, yeah. And she signed it. And apparently she is a very difficult to get autograph. So while we missed our big blue bald whale, we did get a really great autograph on our poster. But
it's a waste of trip, but it's so rough driving 2 hours away to get an autograph and then to getting shot down.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been shot down too by the best.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the emperor was a dick.
yeah. And that paid for him later.
Yeah. Who, there was another one. I've been turned, not vocally turned down, but just ignored by Natalie Portman because she doesn't sign Star Wars stuff. So yeah.
I've never seen her yet, but I was close to Harrison Ford, but outside of Letterman, but it got too out of hand.
That wasn't your fault. That was the fault of those other dick lickers that hang outside there. Yeah.
Dick lickers.
Because he was like, guys, stop pushing. I'll sign for everybody. And everybody just kept pushing.
Don't push. And everyone kept on pushing and pushing, pushing. And then he said, that's it. Fuck it. I'm going home.
Autograph collectors are a-holes. I mean, autograph dealers, I should say, because that's
right.
Normally.
No, you're right the first time.
I remember that at that first one I was using different colored markers because they worked on my poster, but sometimes, like, I remember who was there from
God, what was that?
She one of the actresses, I think it was Renee Zellweger, took one of my markers. I was the first one. She just went down the line with my marker, but it was like a black or a silver marker. And people were like, who's using a black marker? Who the fuck is using a silver marker?
I remember that, yeah.
Wow.
Tim, I was like,
Tim hid in the bushes for a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the same thing, Stuttering John was there too. And you're like, Stuttering John!
Yeah. He was pissed because I called him out.
And Billy Boyd. Or Billy Burr. What's the guy from Access Hollywood?
Who the fuck are you people Billy talking Bush. About?
Yeah. That was a night. You and I, we did that for, what, 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yes, and move back so we can do it again.
Good times. It's not even at, because it was at Tavern on the Green. That place doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's at a different place, Cipriani's.
Which one of you guys are so bored that you posted Happy Birthday Harrison Ford on the Facebook page while we're recording?
What?
Did that really happen?
Chris handles all the birthdays.
Yep. I always do the birthdays. Okay.
And I'm so bored that I'm looking at it.
are we done, Paranorbi?
I'm finished. I was just taking a stroll down memory lane with you.
Do you have a
Papanoid activity?
Do you have a website about Purple Nurple?
Purple Nurple? I got two websites for this guy. First one is, because I didn't know this existed, I actually thought it was kind of nice. There's a Lucas Family Collection set of all their... of all the family in their Star Wars character forms as action figures. Either you guys have any of you guys have those? I'm assuming Dave didn't. That's why I said either you guys.
No, I don't get any of these figures.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it. I thought it was like a mail away exclusive or it was exclusive.
You know,
somewhere.
It is exclusive something. I forget what it is.
Maybe like previews, like a comic shop exclusive.
No, I don't know. Maybe not. I can't tell. It doesn't matter. who cares? And the other one was, it was kind of funny because it's like, what is it? Totalfilm.com did a article saying 50 character Star Wars characters that need their own movies, and they have him on the list, and I can't even imagine why. So
he basically got his own movie with that with the TV episode. It is a cool episode, and he's a cool character on the show. Dave, I recommend you watch it.
They have Sayo Bibble on the list too, so I guess this list isn't all that hot.
You must contact me.
Blue balls. That's all I care about.
I am shocked that this whole episode wasn't like a Lucas bashing.
Yeah, really. Sorry. We were like awfully kind to.
You know what? I've got. Yeah, I mean, as upset as I was with some of the decisions he made with the special editions and with the prequels and whatnot. This whole Disney exchange and what he's doing for education and his foundation, and more I learned about his foundation, I actually have a new respect for him as a person. I'm not, you know, shallow enough to not admit that I was, you know, maybe some of the things, maybe his artistic decisions are not what I agree with, but as a person, I think I kind of respect him after learning more about him.
Listen to that.
And he has blue balls. And Matt likes
blue
balls.
That's nice.
He raped my childhood.
He what?
Raped.
He raped my childhood.
No, the priest did that.
Oh, it's the blue balls. That's all I remember.
I'm happy about that.
You're happy my childhood got raped?
No.
You son of a bitch.
I thought by the end of this I was going to feel bad because we were like...
You were calm. You were just...
No, I was biding my time waiting for something interesting to happen. And
waiting for me to come unglued is what you're saying.
Still waiting.
No, I'm sorry. I maybe I'm growing up or maybe I'm taking the time to, like I said, learn about the man rather than just his artistic side. And I just have a different opinion than I had about him 2 years ago.
Oh, that's nice. I know Tim's in love with him.
I love this man.
I know you're.
I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way to interview him.
Yeah, okay.
I want to talk to him about his, because he was at Altamont. He was running a camera at Altamont. I want to talk to him about that.
He was?
Yeah, he was there at Altamont when the Hells Angels stabbed that guy during the Rolling Stones concert. He was a camera operator.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that when you learned that story. That would be interesting to hear.
Yep. I would love to talk to him about that. I would love to, because he's a rock and roll dude. He knows his rock and roll.
Does he?
And he knows his history. Yeah, I would. Oh man, I could sit and talk with him for hours about music history.
You probably have a better chance of getting that interview than even mentioning the word Star Wars when you make that request.
Yeah. When we talk, I'm going to sit on his lap and twist his beard in my finger and say, "Tell me more. Tell me more, Georgie."
Ask him about Tucker.
A man in his dream.
Yeah. Hey, I just have one Star Wars question. Did they paint your balls blue too? Or that your dick? Your dingle.
Your dingle.
I'm laughing at Chris.
You're laughing at dingle?
I'm laughing at Chris's laugh. I also at the word dingle.
I thought he said dig hole.
I was laughing.
As well, they painted the whole dick blue, but they rather old the dick and it made it pink.
How about the little mushroom on the sides?
Yeah, little mushroom. I love it.
Hey, Dave.
Let's go get some spaghettis, man. Come on.
Dave, it's a new beginning.
It's a new beginning.
It is.
It is.
For trivia.
That's right. Congratulations to... Insert.
To the winner.
For winning the last round of trivia. And now, we're moving on. Well, here's the way we're going to do it. For this 25 episodes.
Tell us, Dave.
It's going to be called Who Said That?
Tell us in Zangor voice.
Who said that?
Who said that? And what is going to be this 25 is quotes. So the way it's going to work is this. Each one of us is going to get a random movie of the six movies by the roll of a dice. They are also going to get a random quote from that movie without knowing what movie it's from and have to get it correct for a point. Beyond that, I'm also going to be keeping track to see from what movies people are getting questions right. Once a contestant or a panelist gets a quote from all six movies, they will receive 5 bonus points. So it's going to be a little bit of skill, a little bit of luck.
Yes.
And a whole lot of laughs.
Blue ball.
Starting there. Right. Laugh number one.
So.
And two.
You kind of hope that you're going to kind of have to hope that you get one from each movie eventually, right? So you can get the bonus points. But.
Right.
Who knows what's going
to
happen?
I think more importantly, you hope that you get a character that has a quotable line that you can recognize.
That's true.
Before you even worry about that bonus points.
And I have a copy of all 6 scripts in front of me, and we were not looking at them too hard because we didn't want to start to memorize these scripts by any means, but there are things in these scripts that were never shot. and we did a practice run.
We did.
And Chris received a...
Shocking. I got the one that, you know, was never heard of.
Oh, stop it. He got a line from a scene that was never even filmed.
Mm-hmm. My luck.
So, it could be very simple. It could be very hard, but we're hoping...
It's always hard, Dave.
Jeez. We're hoping that it's a lot of fun. And I will be reading these, and Chris will be reading this with no inflection as not to give anything away.
Correct.
So, Matt, are you ready to embark on the trivia?
I am ready. Who said that?
All right, Matt, I have selected your random movie.
Okay.
And I have the script in front of me. And as I scroll through it, you will tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Here is your line. I almost forgot. There's a battle going on right here in our system. Come and look.
That is Luke Skywalker.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
That is correct.
I knew that one. Yes. Great.
Can you give any more details?
Yeah, that's the cut anchorhead scene, I think.
It is exactly the cut anchorhead scene. He's talking to Biggs and Deke.
What?
Hey, guys, a Deke.
Real Deke, that one.
That's funny.
So Matt starts us off with a correct answer. Very well done. All right, Tim. I have randomly selected your script and have it in front of me. You let me know when you want me to stop, and I will read you the first quote on the page.
All right. Stop!
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here is your quote. I agree.
Oh my God. Wow.
Holy shmanoli. Qui-Gon Jinn.
This is a nice guess.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, Qui-Gon Jinn.
It is correct.
Wow.
Whoa! Timmy Woo.
Come on, where did you get that? Do you know what it is?
I'm assuming it's episode one of it's Qui-Gon Jinn, but I seem to remember like Obi-Wan saying something like, it's not safe here, we need to get something, something, something. I agree. We need to, or something like, we need to get down the planet, or we need to get to this... Gungan thing or something like that.
How can you not know what this is from and still talk so much? Sorry.
I'm literally just a guess. I was trying to think of who said that, and that sounds like something Qui-Gon
says. That.
The answer is Qui-Gon. You have it in the wrong context. He's talking to Padme. The line before it is her saying to him near the end of the movie, my guess is the Viceroy is in the throne room. And he to that says, I agree.
So wow.
It's at the end.
That script must not be very long.
All right, well, that's what it is. Now, Chris, are you ready?
I am ready.
I have randomly selected yours.
Watch mine, ready?
Your line is, oh.
Yeah.
Well, that could happen at some point.
It's going to happen, yeah.
I'm ready whenever you... Stopping already?
Stop already.
My esteemed colleagues, excuse me. I have just received some tragic and disturbing news. Senator Amidala of the Naboo system has been assassinated.
Oh my God. Can we read it again, Dave, for me, please?
My esteemed colleagues, excuse me. I have just received some tragic and disturbing news. Senator Amidala of the Naboo system has been assassinated.
Chubby Ballsack.
Sayo Bibble.
What are you laughing at?
Because I have no idea.
That is incorrect.
Jimmy Smits.
I think you got yourself another unfilmed scene.
No, I did not!
I'm pretty sure. This is the setting is the interior Senate chamber during the day. Mass Amida and Palpatine talking.
Who says it? Mass Amida?
No, Palpatine does. And then there are lines here from all kinds of other ambassadors like Senator Ask Ack.
Saying what? No!
And Ambassador Darsana Ornfree Ta. I mean, this is like a long Senate scene that I do.
So I got it. Thing that you made in the fucking movie.
I'm pretty Again. Sure. It's-
Unfilmed scene. That's what you're gonna get this whole game. Unfilmed scene.
Is that chocolate rain?
It's chocolate rain. Yeah.
Jesus Christ! How did I know that?
Chocolate rain.
All right. Sorry about that, Chris.
That's all right, dude. Yeah. I'm rolling your dice.
You're rolling the dice. I am not looking, okay. So I don't have a clue as to what movie this is from. And then you will.
I hit the script. It's loading. It is. Still loading. It's not, okay, there it is. Right. I am now scrolling. Keep that thing scrolling along.
Stop.
Those blue balls rolling.
All right. You die in childbirth.
Okay. It's directed at Padme. It's got to be from episode 3. Anakin's having his visions. I think he's the only one that... I mean, he's the only one that knows she's pregnant other than Obi-Wan at the end. It's got to be Anakin Skywalker.
Shockingly, this was in the script, and you got it right.
This was actually a filmed scene.
Yes, it was in the movie. We all saw it happen.
Millions of people have seen it.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I at least got one from the prequels under my belt to try and get these bonus points. But after one show, the scores go like this.
Nothing's changed.
Matt has one, and his is from episode 4. Woo-hoo. Tim has one from episode 1. I have one from episode 3, and Chris has 0.
Do you know why? It was in the movies.
Don't. Who said that?
Who said that? Thank you very much for listening to this great episode featuring blue balls on Baron and Papanoida.
Munchausen.
What do you think? Do you think someone held him up?
I think it was a team of people.
I can see that.
The entire ILM makeup staff went in there.
Probably has some big ass balls. With
velvet gloves.
Velvet gloves.
Don't look directly at Mr. Lucas's balls.
It's like looking into the ark.
It's like Medusa has little snake pubes.
Oh, God.
Turn to stone, Lucas's balls! Perseus!
I think my face would more melt like tote if I saw his balls.
Was that Burgess Meredith, Tim? You were doing?
I don't know who that was. Perseus!
Well, join us next time we discuss Simaloo!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.